Welcome to the Spacious Unknowing Network, sunshine for your soul,
with Julio
and Jojo Rose.
We invite you to enter into ecological equanimity in the unified field of spacious unknowing.
We open and awaken to broaden your access to the soul rhythm in all of us.
We engage in the pilgrimage inward to feel the infinite love that beats in the rhythm of our collective soul.
We will guide you to new horizons and infinite love during our Inquire Within segment to accept that you create your field.
I create my field.
And together, we create the unified field. Spacious Unknowing Network
with Julio
and Jojo Rose starts now.
Aloha and welcome to our part two of a three-part series on family dynamics. Today, we'll be speaking on creative community building. You know, sometimes creative community building comes from unusual places and shows up in unusual ways. We'll have some stories from my childhood that Julie O. Rose will be sharing with us. You're on.
Yes, and how do you community build creatively when you have a 10, 8, 6-year-old, and you're pregnant with your fourth child? Here's how not to do it. My son Matt came flying through the door, so excited, exuberant. And I said, "Sit, Matthew, breathe. Tell me what you're so excited about." And he said, "I just heard about Jerry Lewis and having a circus. I want to have a circus here, Mom." And I said, "Oh, we can't do that." He went out the door. He just left. He just left through the door. And I felt like he got punched in the belly by me. And I sat for a minute to recover. And how can I recover this with him? So I called his dad, Benny, at work. And I told him what had happened, and he said, "Well, how about if we do something that the boys really love and they can engage in that would be enjoyable for the whole family?" "Well, what would that be?" And he said, "A father-son softball game. All they do is talk baseball, live baseball. So why don't we let them have a whole day of baseball? But on the way to it, I think we could really do some, they could learn a lot by having to go out and get ads. And I could create a little program so that they would have some funds to give to muscular dystrophy. And that would complete what Matt intended." And so I thought, wow, this is cool. I like this. The boys are going to love it. And so is Jojo. So when, he said, "Well, don't save it up for dinner. Tell them at lunch and just tell them whatever you want to, and then we'll talk further with them at dinner." So sure enough, they came flying in the door to have lunch, and Matt was a little strange, but not, he kind of had recovered. And so I told all three of them before we ate what was up and what we, his dad, their dad and I had talked about. Oh, they were just abuzz with such excitement and talking over each other. "What are we going to do, you know?" "Who's going to do what?" I said, "Well, we'll talk further tonight at dinner. So maybe we can talk over some things while we eat lunch. And then you all go play and do what you do and come back. And when dinner is ready, we will sit with Dad and talk." So sure enough, they definitely had plans of their own that they talked through. And at dinner, Benny introduced the idea to them that they could probably go on their bikes and get ads from merchants. And he would create a mock-up for them to take of the ad, the way the ads would be laid out in the program. And oh, they were beside themselves, so excited. And I said, well, you boys, we're going to have to go, first of all, secure the field, see what Dave says about which of the three fields we can use. So, well, how about deciding on a date? Jay said, yeah, I'll go get a calendar. So they brought the calendar to the table. He did. And we decided on a date. And so then I said, okay, we'll go tomorrow. But you boys, you're the ones. You have to ask Dave for the field. And they just looked at each other and, okay, we'll do it. So the next day, I drove them to the community center where Dave worked. And we sat outside and I said, now, don't forget, you're going to tell him, you're talking to him. And they said, yep, okay. So we went in and they explained to Dave what they were doing and asked him if they could use one of the fields and gave him the date. And he just was grinning. Dave was grinning ear to ear. He just was so thrilled with what they wanted to do. And so he came around the desk and he said, you have your date and you have a field. And he told them which one. And so they just was so happy. And we thanked Dave and we left. And the next thing for them to do was to, and of course, JoJo was with us and she was very excited with the boys. And the next thing was for them to call the fathers and to secure enough for the team, for the softball team. And of course, the fathers would talk to the sons, so they just had the fathers to talk to. So that took them the rest of the week to gather all the men and sons that they needed. And then off they went on Monday, I think. They went on their bikes to the merchants and came back so excited. And they laid out all this money on the coffee table and with the mock-up of the ad book and said everybody was so kind and they just were so excited when the boys talked to them about what they were doing and they just wanted an ad right away. And one man was so excited, he said he'd give them the biggest ad, but they had to come back at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning because his wife wanted to meet them. And they had to write up the ad that night. And so Matt and Jay were so excited that they would get to go back to that same man and meet his wife and get that big ad sold. And so they had all the fathers and sons because that definitely was necessary before they went for ads. So the next day they said, Jay called me after they got the big ad and he said, can we go across the highway and on our bikes? And I said, well, Jay, go into your heart. How do you feel about doing that? Do you feel safe? He said, yeah, I do, Mom. I feel real good about it. I said, okay, you and Matt can go. And so they came back later and Jay was a little put out and he said, Mom, I know I talked to you, but you didn't talk to Matt. And he went lollygagging, zigzagging all over the road. And I looked at Matt and he said, Mom, there were no cars on the road. There was no traffic at all. And Jay said, yeah, but someone could have come out unexpectedly. On we went with what happened. And what happened was they didn't get any ads that the people actually practically threw them out of the stores. So they had enough ads to fill the book. It was fine. And they had an experience that they wouldn't quickly forget. So when Benny came home, he was thrilled and he said, "Jay, what did you say to the merchants?" And Jay said, "Well, I just told them we were having a charity father-son softball game and gave them the date and that we were giving the money to muscular dystrophy and that we wanted to know if they would buy an ad." And so they just did it right away. And Benny was so impressed with the way Jay said it. He told him so. And then he said, "How about you, Matt? Did you talk to any of the merchants?" And he said, "Yeah, we swapped off and we did. I did one and he did one." And so they definitely had a good time. And they were ready to go to the next level of whatever it was that we had to do. So I mentioned that maybe we could call the JCs because they always like setting up some kind of a place for burgers and, you know, food and also information. And we could place the programs there, or we could hand them out. And so I did call the JCs, and they were thrilled and very willing, and that was all set up. So it turned out that the Orlando Sentinel and the morning paper in Melbourne both did big articles on it, and there was a lot of talk in the community. And of course, Jay and Matt were in Little League, so they were able to tell all the kids and that what was happening, and they asked their friends to tell others, and they were having the time of their life. What a vacation. And so, and Jojo had wanted to go on the bike. She didn't have one, but she wanted to go with the boys for the ads. And I said, "No, you know, I'm going to take that material that you love, and I'm going to make you the A-line dress you asked me for." And you were, what?
So excited. I was like, "Yes, can we do it right now?"
Well, we'll do it soon, and it'll probably be done by tomorrow, and you can try it on me. So, we got it done, and then when we were doing the money with the boys, JoJo was supposed to be coming out with her dress, and
"Mom, now?"
And we said, "Yes." So she came out and she showed the boys and she twirled around to show them her new dress, the A-line with the collar. And she was so excited. And of course they're saying, "Oh, you look so pretty, JoJo." And they just loved it. And I loved how my children were with each other. It was very touching. Very, very touching. And then the game. So Benny was going to put all the ads and the program together. And he said he'd bring it home just for the mock-up, just so we could see if we liked it and if it worked for all of us. And sure enough, he brought it home and we loved it. His artwork and the way he laid out everything was professional, the way he was. And so that was on, and the game was Sunday. So he finished that up, and the morning of the game was a long day because the game was at 6 p.m. So we were all, the energy was so high in our house. It was like, woo! But yet we sat and had breakfast in total silence. That was amazing. And it was more like a brunch. So we knew that we were ready for the game. But definitely, we were all pensive, and we always meditated, so we did that. And we had done that before breakfast. So when the time came for us to go, we gathered up The only thing we had to bring was ourselves and the programs. Mm-hmm. So we gathered ourselves up, and the field wasn't very far away. So when we arrived, the place was buzzing already. And the JCs were setting up, and there were mothers there with the strollers with their children in them, or their children were running around and playing, and JoJo joined them. And the fathers and sons were beginning to be on the field, and Matt had predicted that the boys would win, and that the fathers were old and they couldn't play ball. And Benny said, I make to differ with you. We can play ball, and we've got a few tricks up our sleeve. You just wait and see. And Matt said, doesn't matter. We're going to win. And I said, you know, your father and all the men are pretty fit. So, you know, notice, Matthew. But he was determined, as Matt can be. And so when we left for the game, he said, watch, Jay. We're going to win. So we were at the field, and everybody was. And the poster boy for my muscular dystrophy was in a wheelchair. And the woman who brought him, who was the head of the organization, wheeled him out on the field. He was going to throw out the first ball. And she announced that the boys had received $400, but with the ads, and they gave her the check, and she showed it to everybody, that and everybody applauded. It was fun to see, you know, the boy and meet him. We had met him before she wheeled him on the field, and then he threw out the first ball. Wow, what an arm he had. It was so cool. And then the game was just plain fun. I mean, it was entertaining. It was silly. It was ridiculous. It was funny. It was grand. Everybody had a good time. The ones watching and the ones playing. So after the game, Matt said, I love this community. I understand about winning and losing. It's like, it's really more important to have a community. It was so wonderful that everybody joined in. And this was such a wonderful day. I want to be sure we do this again. So that is how we all felt. It was really very worthwhile. And the boys were thankful that they did have some funds, and they knew that Benny was very integral to that and thanked him. And he thanked them for being enterprising and knowing how to speak to merchants. And in the meantime, I had written a letter to their Auntie Rosemary, Benny's sister in Boston, and she had shared the letter with our doctor, Dr. Ober, who was our doctor when we lived there, the children's doctor. Well, all of us. He came to our home to tend to the children whenever they either were sick or needed an exam or a shot. And we all loved him. Well, when Rosemary told him about the game and read him the letter I had sent her, he wept, because he still was traveling and going to people's homes. And he said what he was seeing with families was disheartening. It broke his heart. And he just needed to hear that if there was a family that really cared about other people and cared about each other, and it just touched him so deeply. And he was so thankful that Rosemary had shared the letter with him, and we were thankful that she had too. And she also mentioned that, were we coming, to the christening of their new son, John, and we hadn't decided yet, but it appeared that the boys were going to ask their father, as we had dinner that evening, about going to Boston. They wanted a trip to Boston. And so Benny said, no, we can't do that. I don't know who would take care of the park. Your mom's pregnant. She can't travel. And I said, yes, I can. He said, well, you check with the doctor. And I said, no, I won't. I'm fine. I can make this decision. And so that was off the table. No more excuses. So when we got home, the boys, well, all three children kind of ganged up on him, in his words, and talked to him about going to Boston. And he went out to work in the park. So when in a few minutes, I heard this buzzing from the three children and wondered what they were up to. They were sitting on the stairs, the top part of the stairway, going down to their playroom and making plans for the trip to Boston. So the game had just ended and we're already taking a trip to Boston. Oh yeah, this is what happens in families. It's pretty wonderful to be in adventures. Mm-hmm. Every day.
Oh, yes.
And so I went and I sat with them on the stairs and they said, Mom, we know Dad is just afraid. So we want him to realize that the same way we were able to make this game happen, we all pitched in, we all did it. We can do the same with making this trip. Oh, and he thought that we couldn't get 5 tickets. Because it was 2 weeks away. And that was the big one. That was the big one, yeah. So they said, Mom, will you go make the reservation right now? I said, sure. So I went to the phone, made the reservation, and paid for it. And the woman said, well, you'll be on standby. I said, oh, but I think you'll be on board. You'll probably be fine. Okay, so I told the children, they were so excited. And I said, well, you know, I have to talk to your dad when he comes in. And so they went to their usual showers and baths and bed. And when Benny came in, he said, what about that? The kids ganging up on me the way they did. I said, well, I think you need to sit down and let us talk about this. And he said, oh, okay. And he said, well, I don't think I can get anybody to take care of the park. And I said, well, Don has always been willing whenever you asked him. And all he would have to do is go check with our manager, Mrs. Baker, and see what is needed and take care of it. And, you know, Ro and Mike have always been here. For our children, I think we need to consider being there for theirs. He said, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. Yeah, I think maybe we need to. He said, well, what about the tickets? I said, oh, by the way, I made the reservation already. We have 5 tickets.
You
did? And we both laughed and that was that. So we had a trip planned and it was going to be a 2 week vacation in Boston. In a couple of weeks, we would be leaving. So the other part of this is when the day arrived, we had to drive to Orlando, which at that time was an hour drive. And we had to be up at 5 to pack the car so we could leave. So everybody took care of it. They all did what they had to do. And we were packing the car. Each person brought their mm-hmm. own things to the car to pack.
Yes.
Remember?
I sure do. Yeah.
And we were on our way to Orlando to take this wonderful trip to Boston. Arrived in Orlando and the woman said, Benny didn't know a thing about it, us being on standby. We decided not to tell him. So we arrived there and the woman said, well, you're on standby, but it looks really good. Just go after the tickets were exchanged, you know, taken care of. Just go by the fence, because at that time we walked on tarmac to get to the plane. And so, oh, it couldn't have been 15 minutes later, somebody came and walked us to the plane. And Benny was carrying JoJo in his arms. And halfway across the tarmac, tarmac. It was a star. Benny turned around and gave us the biggest, broadest smile I had ever seen him smile. And that was worth a thousand words. So here we were, headed for the steps and embarking, going on the plane. So that was the beginning of our trip, and I'm not going to cover the trip at all. That's the part of it I wanted to share today.
And it's perfect time for our break. But please stay tuned, because we have another life happening of my brother Matthew and his first public broadcast. Stay with us, and we'll see you on the other side.
Too many people go too long forgetting their true soul purpose. Join me, Gina Gale Gray, every fourth Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific in Savvy Solutions. Take the journey back to me with a Freedom Coach and Oracle on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find your soul oceans now in my show. Learn how you can release the wall around your heart and follow your emotional being back to connection and compassion. Visit AnywhereMindBodySoul.com.
In body, in power, in soul. Activate the spirit within you in deep conversations of power, faith, grace, love, and forgiveness. On Soul Inspired Reflections, Ascension, a humble awakening of the heart. Join me, your host, Gina Libido, every second Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. And find that even the chaos of your world makes sense and adds meaning and purpose. Make a choice, be inspired, take action. For more information, go to soulinspired.org. That's soul-inspired.org.
Melissa Johnson is a certified life coach, author, speaker, and creator of WOW Ministries, Worship Over Worry, designed to give you the tools needed to live a life of purpose. You have a choice daily to worry about your life and give up the fight, or decide to worship God through your pain and triumph victoriously. Melissa Johnson offers a variety of books, curriculums, and programs to guide you through a self-discovery journey.
Book your consultation with Melissa Johnson today at WOWMinistriesLLC.com.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
You are a brilliantly self-aware woman with a big heart and a cycle of dissatisfying relationships. Maybe you're drawn to a man who lights a fire in you but leaves you feeling amiss. Does that sound about right? My name is Love Coach Mariah, and I help women navigate the rough waters of rocky relationship from push and pull to peace of mind. Learn more at lovecoachmariya.com. The first call is on me.
Aloha and welcome back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Spacious Unknowing Network. If you've happened to miss the first part of the show, you can go ahead and listen to it on our website at spaciousunknowing.com. We're speaking today on the second part of a three-part series that we have, Creative Community Building. And now there's a very wonderful life happening with my brother Matt in his first public broadcast. Julie O. Rose, can you share what happened with Matthew?
Yes, I'd be happy to.
Good.
Yeah, he learned at school one day that he had an opportunity to have a project accepted by the school, something that he would write a proposal for, and there would be several children from different grades that would be allowed to do their projects. So when he came home, he let us know what he wanted to do. He wanted to go be with a AAA team and sit in the dugout with them, be in their locker room and get to know them and get to know what the baseball game was like for adults, because he was a baseball fan. So that was what his interest was, and that's what he wanted to do. So about the same time, you know, I called him Matthew all the time. And all of a sudden, one of the teachers, when I was at school, said, "Do you want us to call him Matthew?" And I said, "Why? What do you call him?" She said, "Well, the children and most of the teachers call him Matt." I said, "Oh, you never told me that. Okay. Well, Matt he is then." So I joined them and started calling him Matt. So he was 10, I think, fourth grade, 9 or 10. And he came home and he did explain to us what he wanted to do. So he didn't have to have the paper in for another week. So he just, when the week came around, he had 3 days left. And he, after dinner, he asked Benny and I what he needed to say. And we said, "Matt, you told us what you wanted to do in this project. And that's what you need to write in your proposal. You can do it." And both of us assured him that he had said everything that it was that he wanted to do, so he could write it. And he just went with his one sheet of paper and a pencil, sat on the sofa, put his paper and pencil on the coffee table. He sat there for a full hour and didn't move. So in an hour, he got up, took the paper and the pencil, put them away, took his shower, came and said goodnight, and went to bed. Next night, after dinner, he said to Benny and I, "What can I write?" And we said, both of us, like in tandem, said, "Well, Matt, you told us already what you want to do. That's your project. So you can write it. We know you can do it. So you just have to sit and do it." And we both were very much with him in it, but we weren't going to do it for him or even with him, because then it wouldn't be his. So he went with his paper and his pencil, and he sat on the sofa, put his paper and pencil on the coffee table, and he sat there for an hour. He went, put it away, took his shower, came and hugged us goodnight, and went to bed. Well, the next night was it, because the day after was when his paper had to be in. After dinner, he said to Matt and I, "Oh, what can I write?" And we said, "Matt, you do know what you want to do, and you can write this." That was that. He took his paper and pencil. He sat on the sofa, put the paper on the table and the pencil with it. And the next thing I knew, he was writing away. He wrote a full page. He brought it to me. I read it and I went, "Oh my goodness, his teacher is going to think we wrote it." It was that good. And I went, "Oh, he really didn't know what to write." And so He was happy and took a shower, big hugs all around, and he went to bed. So the next day, he took it to school. They already chose the ones soon after that for the projects. And the principal of school called them all to the office and said, well, I would like for you to tell the whole school about it. Just speak into the intercom system and all those students will hear what your project is about. And one after the other would not do that. And when she got to Matt, he just stepped up, grabbed the mic, and he told everyone exactly what he was going to do. And he, and I knew well, his teacher was going to ask me if we had written the proposal. And so sure enough, he did. And I said, you know what? Did Matt talk to the whole student body about his project? Yeah. Did anyone else? No. How in the world would Matt have been able to do that if we had written it? You tell me. He said, oh, he really wrote that? I said, yeah, he did. Every word of it. And he meant it. And he's going to do it. So sure enough, the day arrived and he and his father had decided they would go together. And so they did, and they spent the day. When they came home, I expected them to be full of a story and what had happened and how wonderful it was. Well, of course, the story got pared down. And basically, they only talked with the players just for a little while. And then the players had things to do. So Matt and his dad spent the day together, which was really wonderful, and they enjoyed that. So that was the way the project went. And mainly it was Matt learning how capable he was and that he could do this. And there is no way he could have learned that if we had helped him, if we'd sat beside him, if we talked it through with him or did anything. He was very clear on what he wanted to do. And we knew well he could write it. So the wonder of it was that he did learn that he could. And we were thankful that that was creative, brought forth from within him, because we didn't take over. So yeah, that was a big shift and change for Matt to understand himself and his life. And that was nurturing his whole idea of wanting to be a sportscaster. And I mean, Jay and Matt were Red Sox fans, as you remember.
Oh boy, and were they
boxes of stats and baseball cards. They talk so often about the stats and the names of the players that I knew them all, and I knew nothing about baseball except going to the kids' games.
And I used to love sitting there with them with all these boxes filled with baseball cards, and they'd sit there and they'd trade and negotiate with each other. And I didn't know any of the players, but it was just fun to be with them, watch them be able to be in this negotiating with each other and having fun with it. And
yes.
Determining what they were willing to let go of and what they were as far as their cards went. So it was fun.
And they were so serious. And of course,
oh goodness, yes.
When we went on our trip, they had to plan to go see the Red Sox play. And they did. So that was part of their Boston trip. And along with many other family gatherings and really, I guess I want to say that the wonder of life is when a family does have love and care for each other, kindness truly, because it's really you all were so kind to each other, and it always touched me. And there were moments when there was a little sibling rivalry or something happening, but it was so, to me, integral to growing up. They were never mean-spirited or long and drawn out. It was mainly some little thing that bothered one or the other of you.
And I attribute that to really the way that you and Dad were with us,
yeah,
and the tone that you set, and, you know, so much of both stories you shared, the boys with the ball game,
yeah,
and then Matt with the, you helped to build within us that mm-hmm. trust.
In yourself.
In ourselves. Yeah. The fact that we had the meditation and the stillness and the quiet, and there was so much love and enjoyment of each mm-hmm. other. And if one person in the family was shining because they had something that they had to be in, like Matt with the project, we all were with him.
Mm-hmm.
Or Matt and Jay with the ball game, we were all present for both of them.
Yeah.
It was all inclusive.
It was.
And it truly was a wonderful childhood to have that way. Because you know, walking out the door in the morning, I felt loved. Coming home, I felt loved. And I know we all felt that and shared in that.
Yeah, it's good. Very good. And you all love Gina.
Oh, yes.
She wasn't here yet, but oh my, how you all treated her already mm-hmm. and talked to her. It was such fun to see how caring you were, all of you, and it was... Yeah, it was nice.
And then integral to that was how you and Dad were with each other.
Yes.
And we've got to see that. Yeah. We've got to be in the midst of that. And
well, you know, what I know to be true is that when I had mistakenly spoken too soon to Matt about the ball game, well, the circus. And then called Benny. He was the lift for me by saying what we could do. And I knew it was a wonderful, you know, response or ability. We would do it. And then when I knew that the boys, you all wanted to go on the trip and talk to him, and he, no, you know, he did the no. And I lifted him. And that is really the balance of how we were with each other. And it was consistent that way. And so I always was thankful that we had that and that your children were recipients of that. And what I loved most about your father was, if I was upset, especially during pregnancy or crying, he would just hold me and hug me and not try to fix me or talk to me or say whatever. He just hugged me and held me until I didn't cry, until I stopped crying. And it was so, that's all I needed. I didn't need words. I sure didn't need anyone to fix me. And I didn't ask for that. That's just the way he was. And I so appreciated it, because it really is how we were with each other and with your children.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. And
yeah, it is important. I think in today's world, there's too much of couples or people that decide to be in partnership with each other together. They fall into each other. Or, you know,
well, everybody's different.
Everyone is different.
Everyone is different. So, you know, I just feel that we carry something that we need to be true to, all of us, from being together and having the opportunity to share and be kind to each other like we definitely were. And that's really to live a whole life that way is, yeah, that's why we're here.
Yes, yeah. It is. It yeah. definitely is.
So the Boston trip was very enlightening. First of all, we couldn't believe how dark Boston was after we had been living in Florida for a few years. And we'd never seen that when we lived there. I never saw it when I lived in Maine. It just is a different sky altogether. And with the weather changing every day, but cold, even in the summer sometimes, the evenings were cold. The beach was not a beach to us anymore. It was dirt. In Florida, there was sand. So we definitely were, we hadn't thought about it in Florida, but being in Boston, we did think about it. So we appreciated that we had moved, and we did like the weather. Thank God all of us liked it, because not everybody does like warm weather. So, yeah. And
what would you say? I know the way that our family was together, but what would you say was so key and central to that?
I think raising my brother and sister. You know, people would say to me, how do you know how to do all this? And I said, well, this is my second family, because when I raised my brother and sister, and I didn't do it, you know, as fully as, of course, I was a kid myself, but I loved them and I was with them when I could be with them. I had kind of a schedule like most mothers have. I went to school, I worked after school, I came home and made dinner and washed their clothes and ironed them. And, you know, I did all the things that really mothers do, and cared for them that way. And so I think that it prepared me for a different kind of family, because I did visit with my girlfriends and their families, and I would take notes inside on what I would do. So I learned a lot through my friends and their families, and through the way Larry, Diane, and I were with each other too. So, and then sometimes, you know, my older sister Shirley came home, and Dawn, and we'd all have a good time together. But it was just the way it was.
What I mean, growing up that way, having that, you responded to some really deep needs. What sustained you in that?
Well, I never felt like I was doing what you said, but I was born with a big smile inside. And I loved easily. It was just, I was that way from birth. So I just was aware that my mother worked long hours. There was no way that she could be with them the way she had been with me. And my older siblings, we really benefited from having her as a mother. She was very attentive and loving and kind. And so I think I was really knowing that I wanted to be that kind of person. And yeah, it sustained me. I was raising myself and I knew that. And I had to make decisions for my life that were important to me. And I did. And yeah, so it was the way it was. I never looked around to see how other people did things or didn't do things. I mean, I did with the families. It was mainly fun to notice how they were all together, and mother, father, and children. But as far as judging people, I didn't have time for that. It was not worth my while.
You know, there's many things that I genuinely, heartfully, deeply appreciate with you. One of them is, yes, love. Love is, you love everyone, and there isn't ever judgment with anyone. But you are thorough in everything that you're in your life, including if something is needing attention, you really bring it home to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, I behold this and I see it.
Yeah.
In everyday life with you.
Well,
and you're very thorough
from,
before yeah. action.
There's, it all comes from within.
Yeah.
I don't take anything for granted. I really have a very active within life that makes my life in this world very active. It's the same.
Yeah.
For me, it's the same life. It's not two things.
Right.
And I don't separate out anything from me. So it's easy to love that way. Then you know that is true. We're part of everything, everyone, nature, all of it. Yeah. So it's easy to understand relationships and how to be in them when you know that we're all here together.
Together.
And, you know, Oahu is the gathering place. I'm here for a reason. and so are you.
Yes, I am. It is a gathering place.
Yeah. And the people do gather here in many different ways.
Yeah, they do.
Community is important. Ohana is the most important sound that we hear from the Hawaiian people, and many who live here have adopted that idea. Everyone is ohana. So if there's a woman who has children and she's introduced us, we're auntie to her children. Mm-hmm. It's automatic. Meet auntie. And that's really how they talk, how they act, how they live. And it's very, it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's just really beautiful. And it's a wonderful way to learn.
It's the love and care for one another.
Yeah.
The genuine love and care for one another that just.
And it's beyond blood.
Oh,
and
yes.
And that's what Ohana is.
Yeah.
It's really, it's beautiful. And the kindness that is here, the aloha spirit is quantum. It does, it's easy to join.
Yeah.
It's easy to be present with the not only the beauty of the islands, but the people and the people who come here.
Yeah.
It's all of it.
It is all of it.
Yeah.
It's yeah. It is a wonderful place to be.
Yes, it is.
Inside and out.
Yes.
What time is it, Julie O'Rose?
Tip tap. Tip tap. Tip tap. The tip of the week is be aware of kindness and care. Share it.
Tap into your heart of hearts. Be still. Begin kindness and care with you.
Inquiry?
Yes, what is the inquiry? What do I need right now? What kind of kindness and care do I need?
Respond.
Sit for a moment with us and ponder that one. What kindness and care do I need?
Response.
I give myself kindness and care first and share it every day wherever I am with whomever is facing me.
So, right, when you share kindness and care with yourself and with the people around you and wherever you go, write it down. Consider at the end of the day, did it change your day? And do this every day, every evening. And then at the end of the week, look it over and see if it's something you'd like to continue. If something has happened with it that just makes your heart happy. Makes your heart happy.
Yeah. That's what we're all here for. Make our heart happy, but to have that love here and share it.
And sharing it is almost a greater gift. Mm-hmm. It's definitely, we need it inside ourselves. And then to share it is just beyond words. It's beautiful.
Well, we don't want to tell you. We want you to experience that for yourself, please. And let us know. Let us know how you experience it, mm-hmm. and what changes you see in your life with the people closest in and the people within your community. We really would love to hear from you, and we would love to have you become part of our community. So please go to spaciousunknowing.com and sign in. And in signing in, you'll receive monthly Spacious Unknowing meditations. We will be here every Monday to share with you. So please continue to join us. We're here at 7 p.m. Pacific time, 10 p.m. Eastern time, and 4 p.m. Hawaii time. And we've got some really exciting news that we're actually very ready for. We'd also like to invite you to be on Facebook Live tomorrow, 11 a.m. Pacific time, for the Dr. Pat Show. Dr. Pat is going to be interviewing myself and Julie O. Rose. And we are so excited and ready to be with Dr. Pat in the morning. So please check it out with us. Until then, aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Spacious Unknowing Network, Sunshine for Your Soul, with Julie O.
and JoJo Rose.
Join us again for life-affirming communication every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific time on TransformationTalkRadio.com so that you can bask in the rays of infinite love.
Access Soul Rhythm to tap into your real being for your heartbeat in the rhythm of your soul.
Feel it guide you to new horizons and unlimited infinite love. For more information about Julio
and JoJo Rose,
visit spaciousunknowingnetwork.com. That's spaciousunknowingnetwork.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.